We started the sermon last week, and I don't know when we'll finish it, but it doesn't make any difference. We'll finish it eventually. We're saved by grace through faith. Everybody with me that far? We're saved by grace through faith. It's God's grace. It's not our works. It's not our goodness. It's not what we do. It's all because of Him. The reason I'm going to heaven is
Jesus.
That's the whole answer. It's a period at the end of that one word sentence. It's Jesus. That's the only reason I'm going. That's the only hope I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross took away my sins. Now, as a Christian, after I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I've put my faith and my trust in Him. I am depending on Him 100% to get me to heaven. Then I want to work for Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to bring glory to Him. I want to be as good of a Christian as I can possibly be. And so last week I suggested 8 keys to that. And of course, you know there's a lot more to it and a lot more things you can do. But I want to just give you 8 keys to how I can be a super successful Christian. I can live a good Christian life by doing these things. The first 3 were Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. Say it with me. Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. That means that I need to spend some time in prayer every day. I need to spend some time in my Bible. And I'm not in a race to make sure I can read more than you can read, or you can read more than I can read, or I'm not trying to keep up with some scholar somewhere and know as much as they know. I just want to use my Bible and my prayer time to grow closer to God. That's what I want to do. I want to be closer to Him. I want to know Him. I want to communicate with Him. In any successful relationship, communication is a key. In any successful relationship, communication is a key. And in my relationship with God, communication is a key. Bible, He talks to me. Prayer, I talk to Him. Bible, He talks to me. Prayer, I talk to Him. In addition to those two, I need to attend church. There are no perfect churches. Just in case you thought this one was, you're mistaken. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect Christians. None. Not anywhere. All of them have flaws. They're not the same flaws. You know, they don't all commit the same sins, but all of them are weak. We're still involved in a battle with our sin nature. Even though we have the Holy Spirit, we're still involved in that battle with our sin nature, and it goes on all the time. We're going to talk about that as the last one, our spiritual warfare. But you need to go to church and attend church and help people and encourage people and worship the Lord together, and all that's a part of being a Christian. That will help you to grow. And I think if you do not attend church, you drift away from the Lord. One preacher told a story that he had a fellow that was really coming to church, really faithful, coming all the time, and something happened at the church. Something's always happening at the church, but anyway, something happened at the church, and he got mad. He got upset, so he quit coming. And after a few weeks, the preacher just went to see him. And he was sitting in front of the fire, just sitting there. There was an older man who was just sitting in front of the fire. The preacher came in and sat down. And the preacher went over and took some tongs and moved one of the coals away from the fire. Moved it over there by itself. The old man was just sitting there looking at the fire, and the preacher just sat there and looked at the fire. They just sat there. Preacher didn't say nothing. The man didn't say nothing. They just watched the fire. And that coal that he had moved away from the fire just died out. After a few minutes, neither one saying anything, that coal had died out. It had become cold. Preacher got up, took those same tongs, moved it back to the fire, and it began to burn again. Preacher started out at the door. The old man said, "Thanks for the sermon." We need to be with other Christians. We need to share together with other Christians. So the first three is Bible prayer and church attendance. The last five are love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. Love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. We're going to cover the love part today, and then we're going to stop. And we're going to stop because I don't want to ask you to stay at church longer than you ought to. You ought to come to church, and you ought to stay as long as you should, but I don't want to keep you all day. So we're going to talk about love. And I could have picked a passage in which Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' answer was, love God totally and love your neighbor as yourself. But since there's so many passages on love, I decided to pick this one. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. In the Bible, love means that I'm going to seek your best good no matter what. And it is unconditional love. It's not that I will love you. I will love you if you will agree with me on everything I believe. If you did that, you'd be smart. But anyway, no. Just tease. If you agree with me everything that I believe, I'll agree with you. I'll love you. If you will do everything I want you to do, I'll love you. If you'll vote the right political party, I'll love you. If you attend my classes and not somebody else, no, I'm just. If I ever put conditions on the love, then it's not biblical love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Even as I have loved you. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me when I did not deserve to be loved. He loved me when he should have condemned me. You with me? Every one of us. So he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And the commandment to love one another had been around a long time. So what's new about it? It's new. This is the way Jesus did it. Love like Jesus loved. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I've loved you. That you also love one another. And that ought to be the characteristic of the church, that we love one another. That ought to be what happens in the church. Not that we agree with each other. I hope we never agree with each other on everything. I joke a lot about, you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out I'm right and all that stuff. But the fact of it is, if we agreed with each other on everything, somebody's not thinking. Somebody's not thinking. And I suppose... I don't like for people to be against me. I like for all of us to be friends, and we like each other and love each other and all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you, one of the scariest things that ever happened to me was I was teaching a class one time, and a lady spoke up and said, if you say it, I believe it. Like to scared me to death. If you say it, I believe it. No, don't believe it because I said it. Please don't believe it because I said it. Believe it because he said it. He said it. And I think one of the greatest things that could happen to the church is that we would all just go back to the Bible and the Bible alone. But even if we did that, even if we did that, there would still be some disagreement. Because honest, sincere people interpret it differently. And so I don't want us to agree on everything. I don't think we should agree on everything. But I think we should love one another. And I think we can love, even if we disagree. Really believe we can do that. We can debate the issue. We can talk about the issues. And I think that ought to happen within the church. We ought to talk about where we disagree and be openly about it. But I don't think they'll know you're Christians because you agree on everything. Is that what the text says? they'll know you're my disciples because you love one another. You love one another. You care about each other. And love is something that happens within you. It's something that happens within you, and it is that I'm going to seek that other person's best good no matter what. You know what I'm guilty of sometimes? Maybe you are too, but what I'm guilty of sometimes is saying, I'm not going to do anything to hurt them. Therefore, that's love. No, that's not love. Biblical love is, I'm going to seek their best good no matter what. I'm going to seek their best good no matter what. And so I need to love one another. You will know they're Christians by their love. You will know. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, there are passages that talk about the fact that we should love our neighbors ourselves, right? Second greatest commandment, love our neighbors ourselves. And that's talking about loving everybody. This passage talks about Christians loving each other. About Christians loving each other. You will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. Wouldn't it be great to be the church in town and everybody says, those people love each other. Those people love each other. They care for each other. There have been so many times that there are people that you want to do something for. You want to do something to help them. And there's nothing you can do except to pray and to care. I care about what's happening in your life. That's what should happen in the church. And you know, I can't do that on my own. What do you mean, Lee? What do you mean you can't do that on your own? I can't do that on my own. Some of you are pretty easy to love, but some of you are a real pain. I mean, it is hard. It is hard to love some of you. So how do I do that? How do I love people that are not lovable to me? How do I do that? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, all those others too. But love. So if I allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, I can love people that I don't even like. And after a while, if I love them enough, I'll get where I like them. Find someone in the church that you just don't like very much. And start praying for them and really loving them and seeking what's best for them. And many, many times, not every time, but many, many times, you'll get where you love them because you appreciate them. Love one another. Love one another. Don't wait for us to become perfect before you love us. Don't wait for us to become perfect. We'll never get there. Love us anyway. Love us like Jesus loved, right? Love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Love one another. I don't know whether it's true or not, but the story is told that the Apostle John, as he got older, and he was, I think, the only apostle who lived a natural life or died a natural death, whatever. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure I'm right about that, but I think so. But anyway, the story is told, not in the Bible, but in church history, that as he was an older man, and somebody asked him, what's your message for the church? What's your message for the church? His message was to love one another. Love one another. Love one another. If I love you, that doesn't mean that I'm going to compromise what I believe and said, okay, you believe that, I'll give in. No, I'm not going to give in. I'm still going to believe what I believe. We can discuss it and debate it and all that kind of stuff. But I can love you and disagree with you, can't I? We need to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. And sometimes I'm guilty of not doing that. Preacher has a hard time because simply I carry on a conversation by myself. And sometimes I say things that comes across as I'm not very loving. And I can hear it when other people make that mistake, but many times I don't hear it when I make it. You know, I used to say, I know some people who I know some preachers who preach And say, if you don't obey Jesus, if you don't trust in Jesus, if you don't have faith in Jesus, you're going to hell. And that's what they'd say with their words. But their attitude was, if you don't trust in Jesus, you're going to hell. And I'm glad you are. We need to love one another. Our church needs to be known as people who love one another. As people who love one another. That we care for each other. That we support each other in prayer. That we do whatever we can do to help other people. And you know what most of you think? I bet most of you are thinking right now, most of you don't know I'm reading minds. But anyway, what you're thinking right now is, them people don't love me like they ought to. I want you to start at the other end, okay? Don't complain about those people not loving you. You start and say, I don't care whether they love me or not. I'm going to love them because that's what I'm supposed to do. Right? I'm going to love them. Whether they ever love me or not, I'm going to love them because that's what my Jesus said for me to do, to love them. So I'm going to love them. And I joke about the fact that some of us are not very lovable, and that's true. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily that we're just terrible people, but I think as human beings, as sinful human beings, sometimes people just kind of run cross-cultural to us, cross-wise to us. You know what I'm talking about? Just some people I like and some people I don't like. I shared the other Wednesday night that I've known some people who folks back home would say, not quoting Bible, by the way, just folks back home said, that person ain't worth the bullet to take to shoot him. but I've met some of those people that I just liked. You ever met any? Good old boy type stuff. I mean, he wouldn't work. He wasn't any good. He just wasn't a Christian. But for some reason, I just liked him. Just a likable person. And I've met other people who were really good, godly people, but for some reason just kind of irritated me. Just the way they did stuff. Just bothered me. Well, the Bible command is, I'm to love both of those, right? Not one of them, both of them. One that's easy to love and one that's difficult to love. I'm supposed to love them all. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Some of you have heard me ask this question before. But repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is also the key to boredom, but repetition is the key to learning. But if the world will know we're Christians by our love, what does the world know about us when we don't love? If the world knows we are Christians because we love one another, what does the world know when we don't love one another? Repetition is the key to learning. The eight things are Bible, prayer, church attendance, love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism. All right, the first three were Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. The last five are love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. Do it with me. Love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Don't judge the other people for not loving you. Start loving them. Just love them.